You know, age is a funny thing. The only time in our lives when we're in a hurry to grow up is when we're little. If you ask a little kid, how old are you? They'll say, I'm 4 and a half. You know, they answer in fractions. You never hear someone say, well, I'm 36 and a half. They want to get older. Then we get into your teens, you want to jump in age. Someone asks you, how old are you? They say, well, I'm going to be 16. You could be 12, but you're going to be 16. You can't wait to be 16. Then the greatest day of your life happens when you become 21. When you're 21, you're proud to be 21. It's a great moment. I've become 21. But then something changes. Suddenly you turn 30. It's like, ooh, what happened? You turned 30. It's like milk in your refrigerator that turned bad. And you need to throw them out because it smells so bad. There's no more fun now because you've turned 30. Then you start pushing 40. You know, and it's just pushing you to 40 even if you don't want to go. Then you reach 50 and you're exhausted and all your dreams are gone. Then you make it to 60 and you think, man, I didn't think I'd make it to 60. And then you hit 70, it just slams you in the face. Now life is just day by day. Should I even buy green bananas? I'm not sure if I'll be around to eat them. Then a strange thing happens. If you make it to 100 and someone asks you how old you are, you're like a little kid again. I'm 100 and a half. I'm 100 and a half. I made it to 100. Age is a funny thing, but here on earth, we focus on time, and connected with time is age. We focus on time, the time we have on earth. But we should really think about eternity. We should focus on eternity. One of our biggest questions, one of the biggest questions in people's minds is, what happens when I die? If I die, what happens? Is there a great like this slide? Look at this first slide. Is there a great like calling me into eternity? Do I go to heaven? Do I go to hell? Does my life force get reabsorbed back into the universe? Am I reincarnated into a different life? Do I just simply cease to exist, never to have a conscience again? Well, that's what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks as we talk about eternal realities. What's real about eternity? A Sunday school teacher asked her class, how many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And all the students raise their hand but one. And she looks at Tommy and says, Tommy, don't you want to go to heaven? Tommy says, well, I'm sorry, but I can't. My mommy said I had to come home after Sunday school. You know, many of us would say, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but just not right now. Not today. There's too much fun to have on earth today. There's too much one experience on earth. We want to get married. We want to have kids. We want to go on vacation. We want to eat good food. You know, the Houston group that drove off yesterday to go to Houston, they already made it. They drove straight through 16 hours. We're grateful for that. But you know what their message was to me today was? We're eating dim sum. Drove all the way to Houston. You know, we're eating dim sum right now. Because we want to eat good food on earth. And then when our bodies get tired, when our bodies get old, then we want to start thinking about heaven. So we live with a very temporary perspective, a temporal perspective, and rather than a long one. But we need to learn about eternity because our misconceptions about eternity are crippling us. They are hurting us. They are misleading us. It only takes a brush with death to wake us up. A brush with our mortality. Maybe you think you live in paradise. You have paradise on earth. Look at this slide of this island, the Virgin Islands in the Caribbean. At the top, you see before the hurricane, I think it was Maria that went, the one before that, Irma. Before Irma went through, it was green. And look at the bottom one. Every blade of grass and green leaf has been ripped off the British Virgin Islands. Their paradise suddenly changed to not paradise. Everything was gone. See, when we're confronted with our mortality, the topic of heaven becomes very relevant. And the Corinthian church was going through a time where they were confronted with their mortality. They're going through persecution and hardship. So Paul wrote them these words in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We need to have an eternal perspective. The Bible says that everything that you see today is temporary. Your pain and your problems are temporary. The things you don't see are eternal. The eternal realities are the things you don't see. Jesus Christ, heaven, the angels, all these things we cannot see, but that's what we're supposed to focus our eyes on because they go on forever. We need to get real about eternity. And so today, let's talk about the three eternal realities of life. Many of you know these realities. You believe them. And so if you know them and believe them, I want you to learn from what I'm teaching today so you can talk to people about heaven and hell. It's a great topic. And the first reality is God made you to love you. God made you to love you. The biggest questions, one of the biggest questions in life is, why am I here? Why do I exist? Why do I have life in me? Why am I here? Am I an accident, a process of evolution where elemental elements are brought together and zapped with lightning and creates an amoeba or a single cell organism that evolves into a complex organism? I personally do not believe that human beings or complex organisms are the result of evolution. Simple, just not rise up to complex. Everything in the sanctuary, look at everything in this sanctuary was created by someone. Human hands made the piano, the pews, the clothes you wear. And that says that what? We have a creator. We were made by a creator. Our existence says a creator exists. So we're told that we're made by God, and God made you to love you. God loves you, and He wants you to return that love to Him. It's called a relationship. That's why the greatest commandment in the Bible says this in Matthew 22:37. I love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God made us because He loves us. God wants us to return that love. It's all about love. You were made to be loved and to love. That's why this is the first reality of life, that you were made because God made you to love you. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so God made us in His image and in His likeness. Because we are made in that image and likeness, we have the same desires as God. How do I know God exists? Because I want to love somebody, whether it's a family member or a friend. We have the same desire to experience love. God does not need anything, but He does desire to be loved. Just think about it for those of you that have children today. Why did you have children? You know, I read where it cost $250,000 to raise a child, and that doesn't include college. Now I know why I have no money. It cost $250,000. Have any of your children repaid you? They cause stress and worry your entire life, especially if you have three daughters. My children cost me all my money and all my hair. I'm still sad. I used to have this rich, full head of hair. So why have kids? Why have friends? Because like God, we want to love them and we want them to love us back. Experiencing love makes our lives rich. We are the only creatures on this earth who want that, who need that, who desire it. Why? Because we are made in the image of God. Someone asks you, why are you here? Why do you exist? Because God made me to love me. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. God says, I'm drawing you to be loved. That's why we want to love. We want to love because we're made that way. It's inside our souls. But like the song says, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We need to know and experience God's love to survive. God made you to love you. That's the first reality. The second thing is you were made to last forever. You were made to last for eternity. One day your heart's going to stop and that's going to be the end of your physical body, but it's certainly not the end of you. The Bible says that you and I, as human beings, were created in the image of God. That means God put eternity into our soul. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has set eternity in us. The Bible says that on this side of death, is getting this side of death, what living today gets us ready for the other side. We're getting ready to go to heaven. Our side, this side, we might live 80, 90, or 100 years, but eternity is forever, billions of years. This life is preparation for eternity because we were made to last forever. God put eternity in your heart. That means even though we may die physically, our soul and spirit go on into eternity. And we know this in two ways. First, God breathed life into you. God breathed it into you. God made us like Him and in His image. That means He made us eternal beings. And Genesis 2:7 says this, "The Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Not just a living being, but an eternal being. Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden. They were supposed to live forever in the Garden of Eden for eternity. Well, what happened? Sin entered this world, and sin has broken our lives. Instead of living forever, we started to age. Just look at this slide. Our chronology of humankind. When Adam was born, he was supposed to live forever, but because of sin, his body started to decay, and he lived 930 years. His son Shem lived Noah's son Shem lived 500 years. The farther you get from creation and perfection, the shorter the lifespan. Abraham lived 200. King David lived 70 years. But our soul will live into eternity because that's what God put in our heart. So why are we going to last forever? Because God breathed life into us. The second thing is you want to live forever. If you think about it, your consciousness, I cannot conceive my consciousness fading into non-existence. My mind, my will, my ability. Deep down inside our soul, we want to live forever. That's why we cling on to life. That's why we hold on to life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. "Now you know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," talking about your body, "we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." This is the glorified body that Jesus will give us when He returns. Verse 2, "Meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked." And then verse 4, "For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us His Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Our earthly tents are what we live in. Our physical body is what we live in today, but they're wearing out. As they wear out, we groan for our heavenly bodies. We think about heaven. It's in our spiritual DNA. You just think about all the religions in the world today. You know, the non-Christian ones. Most of all the religions in the world have a concept of heaven. That there's a better place to go to. A heaven. People pay money to psychics to find out if there's life after death. They want to contact people from beyond to verify that there's life after death because they want to live forever. About 10 years ago, two Muslim doctors, they were in medical school and they're Muslim doctors in London. They did something totally unexpected. These are educated, civilized men. They decided to commit jihad. They packed a car with gasoline and propane canisters and drove it into a wall at a bus station, trying to blow up the car and kill people. Why? Because the desire, they were told that if they committed suicide, they would go to heaven. And these are educated, civilized men. Why is that? Why would they do that? Because the desire in us is to live forever. The desire in us is strong. If we look deep in our soul, if we look deep in our soul and our conscience, we realize that God's fingerprints are all over us. In our creation, in our need to love. That's the second reality of life. You are made to live forever. The third one is this. God prepared two eternal places, heaven and hell. Heaven is real. Hell is real. They're not just states of beings or consciousness. They are literal places. John 14:1, Jesus speaking to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am." Jesus says, don't worry. This life is hard. There's trouble, persecution, sickness, and death. But don't worry. I am preparing a place for you. Jesus ascended to heaven. Right now, he's preparing a place for us. And he says, it's a real place. In my Father's house, I want you to be a part of my Father's family, and we'll live together, and I will come back and take you there. This place is heaven. Jesus prepared heaven for you. But hell is also a real place. Matthew 25:41. Then he said to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Hell is the eternal fire. It's a real place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because they rejected and they rebelled against God. It wasn't originally intended for human beings. Heaven was prepared for human beings. Heaven is where God wants you to be. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But see, if I choose to rebel against God like Satan did, if I choose to reject God, if I choose to say, I want to be my own God, I'm going to do what I want to do, I want to say what I want to say, I want to be my own God, well then, guess what? I go where Satan goes. Heaven and hell are eternal places. So we don't die, our consciousness does not die, we go on to another eternal place. The fourth reality is this. You get to choose where you'll spend eternity. Isn't that powerful? We get to choose. It's your choice. And this is the same kind of choice God gave the people of Israel in the Old Testament. If we look back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 30:19 says this, "This day I call on heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." God says, life is a choice. It's this gigantic choice. And you can have life or death, heaven or hell, blessings or curses. You get to choose. Would they love God and worship Him and choose God? Or they love someone or something else and worship it? Today, the promised land that is given to us is heaven. Eternal life, that place that Jesus is preparing for us. See, you can worship something other than God. We don't worship idols so much in the United States of America, but we still have idols. You can worship your career. You pour your life into your career. You forget about God. You can worship your salary and making money. You can worship your cell phone because people are prayerfully studying their cell phones all the time. They love their cell phones more than God. You can worship power, possessions, and popularity. You can even worship yourself. Even atheists have a God. It's themselves. They worship themselves. I am my own God. Inside of you is the desire to worship someone or something greater than you. If you worship God and choose to love Him, you choose heaven. If I chose to walk through a different door, if I choose to say, well, thank you, God, but no, I don't want to follow you. You can't blame God if you choose something else. God's done everything He can to enable you to go to heaven. He's already paid for it. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, but yet died a sinner's death. He died on that cross for your sin debt. Because we're sinners, we can't enter the presence of God, but when we're forgiven by the blood of Christ, we can. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our sins will send us to hell, but God's gift will send us to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that amazing that we have a choice? That is the grace of God. God gives us a choice, and He enables us to follow Him to heaven. We are made clean and holy because Jesus took our place on the cross. He paid for our sin debt. We can enter the presence of God. That's grace. That's the gift of God. How do you accept the gift that God offers us? By committing our lives to follow Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We make a commitment and say, Lord Jesus, I want You to be my God. I want You to be my Savior. I'm going to follow You all the way to heaven. It's a choice. That's grace. God's grace. We don't deserve a choice, but because of love, because God wants to love us, He gives us a choice. But if I say, no, thank you. I want to do what I'm doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. Then that's not God's fault, is it? That's my fault. If I reject His condition to enter the doors of heaven, He's not being unloving. I'm being stubborn. Can anyone blame God if I say, God, I don't want Your gift. I don't need Your gift. I talked to a man not too long ago, and he says, you know, I can get to heaven on my own. I'm a good man. I'm good enough. Well, if he was good enough, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross for his sins. See, God loves us. But God is also holy. He can't have sin in His presence. So God says, I'm going to provide a way. Jesus is the way. God wants us to believe and have faith in Him. So we need a commitment. Make a commitment to Him today while we're still alive to put our faith in Him, to accept this gift. Because once you die, there's no second chances. You can't die and then say, hey, I'm in the wrong place. I don't want to be here. There are no second chances. It's your choice. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Jesus came to save us. He didn't come to make us feel bad. He came to save us. When I was 12 years old, I had heard these words. When I was 12 years old, I knew John 3:16. And one day I said, I just decided I wanted to make sure I'm going to heaven. I became a Christian because I wanted the assurance and the hope of heaven. So I became a Christian. I invited Christ into my life. I followed Him in water baptism. Now my goal is different. Yes, I'm following Jesus to heaven, but I want to take as many of you with me as possible. So I invite you today, will you claim this promise in John 3:16? Will you believe in Jesus? Will you choose Jesus and follow Him all the way to heaven? Will you choose to be baptized as a testimony of your commitment? Do you have confidence today that if you were to die, you would go to be in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Heaven was made for you. So I encourage you to choose heaven. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You. You love us. You made us out of love. You made us to be loved. You desire our love. And we know, Lord, we are created beings by You because we have the capacity to love. Not only that, we also know, Lord, that we want to live forever. We want our existence to go on and on. We can't imagine it ceasing. And it won't, because You created two places, two real places, heaven and hell. Father, is there someone here today who needs to make up their mind about You, about heaven and eternity? Father, there's someone today who is not sure about their eternal destiny. I pray, Father, that we get real with our eternal realities and believe in You. We thank You for the grace. You loved us so much. You believed in us that You give us this gift. You loved us so much that You sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. Jesus rose from the dead so that we can go to that place in Your house in heaven. Father, help us not to be prideful. Help us not to be stubborn, but to open our heart to You today and just receive that love, experience that love that You only want the best for us and nothing else. Father, we just worship You now and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitation. And if you're ready to make a commitment to the Lord and follow Jesus to heaven, come forward and let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's stand.